So the Dhamma for today is called the Vesaraja Karuna Dhamma. The Dhammas that make one Vesaraja. Vesaraja. Vesaraja comes from the root sarada, or the word sarada, or simply saraja means timid. Or unsure of oneself, easily dissuaded from one's goals. Vesaraja means someone who is not timid, someone who doesn't turn away, who doesn't quit, someone who is daring or bold, someone who is dauntless, intrepid, confident is the idea, or simply someone who doesn't quit, someone who is not easily turned away from their goals. So the Buddha's teaching, goes without saying, is not something easy or not something for the faint of heart. It deals with the very core of suffering and the problems of life. It teaches us to face and to confront our challenges head on, rather than running away from them, finding excuses, or finding ways to avoid or divert our attention from suffering. The first noble truth is to see suffering fully. With the idea that the only way to be free from it is to understand it, to understand what is causing suffering, to understand the nature of suffering, so that we can change our habits to free ourselves from it. But it is not something for the faint of heart. It requires this vesaraja, real daring and boldness. You have to be sure of yourself and wholehearted in your conviction and in your intention in the practice. So these five dhammas are valuable for life in general, but quite specifically for the practice of the Buddha's teaching, which takes courage and which takes confidence, which takes a certain strength of mind. So the five Vesaraja Karana Dhamma, the first one is Saddha, confidence. So in order to be strong and sure and capable in your convictions and in your ambitions, in order to succeed in everything, including the Buddha's teaching, of course you need confidence. A lack of confidence means that obviously you're going to easily give up. Someone who is lacking in strong confidence is far more likely to give up their work. And specifically in the practice of the Buddha's teaching, is going to easily fail and easily give up. Someone without confidence in the Buddha, confidence in his teachings, confidence in the teacher and that sort of thing, has an especially difficult time to practice. It doesn't mean you have to believe the Buddha's teaching or believe in your teacher or so on blindly, but there are ways, and without the ways of gaining confidence through study, through investigation, through observation, as you reflect on the Buddha's teaching, as you learn about the Buddha's teaching, it gives you confidence. Someone without confidence, who by habit is full of doubt can easily be singled out as the most dangerous of the five hindrances. It's not that sometimes things are open to doubt, but regardless, when someone has doubt or is consumed by doubt as a hindrance, it's something that puts a roadblock in your way, makes you unable to progress. If you have strong doubt and strong uncertainty in what you're doing, if you have uncertainty in yourself, obviously that's a reason. Thinking, can I do it? Am I able to do it? That's a great reason for you to not be able to do it. So the best way to deal with doubt is to be mindful and no doubting, doubting. Someone who is confident, even someone who is blindly confident, has a better time in whatever they do. The problem with blind faith, of course, is that you could have blind faith in the wrong thing. And blind faith will never be as strong or as firm or as powerful as faith or confidence that's based on wisdom, based on investigation. But nonetheless, for practical purposes, it's important that we note the doubt, that we face it. We don't have to shy away or pretend we don't have doubt, but we have to face it. And once we're free from it, we're much more likely to succeed in everything we do. The second way Saraja Dhamma is called is Silawa, one who is ethical, one who has principles, who is principled or moral, ethical. This is a big part of the Buddha's teaching, something that features prominently, the importance of ethics. Of course, we've talked about the Chattuparisuddha Sila, the fourfold ethics and purification of ethics and that sort of thing. So as you can see again and again, it comes up that ethics is the most important foundation of the Buddha's teaching. Someone without ethics, it's like being on a shaky foundation. Everything you do is going to be uncertain, there's going to be weak, there's going to be lacking in this stability of mind. So to succeed in the Buddha's teaching, to succeed in everything in life, concentration and focus is needed. Otherwise you get distracted, you get triggered, you lose your way, and you expend excessive energy on your diversions through the lack of focus. But in order to be focused, you need ethics. Ethics is the beginning of the whole of the spiritual life. So a person who is unethical, killing, stealing, lying, cheating, it consumes them in their mind. It weakens the mind, and it creates a strong habit of being triggered by greed and anger and delusion. These things will grow and feed off the negative deeds. So someone who has engaged in unwholesome deeds in the past will find when they begin to practice meditation, they'll be able to see the negative consequences of those deeds directly. They'll be consumed by guilt, remorse, worry, fear, and overall a sense of self-deprecation, a lack of self-confidence. So a person with great ethics is much more sure of themselves, has a great strength of mind. If anyone were to say, what are you doing trying to become enlightened? You're just this person or that, you're just an ordinary person. They can think to themselves, no, I'm not ordinary, I have ethics. They feel the confidence of being an ethical person. A person who has done evil, when they hear about the Buddha's teaching, they can find it very immediately hard to believe in themselves or believe that they have what it takes because of their lack of ethics. The third way Saraja Dhamma is Bahusutto, one who is or has much learning, literally has heard much. So of course in the Buddha's time they wouldn't read or study, it would be all, it was all through listening to the teachings, as even today of course most of our instruction is done orally. But the significance of that, this doesn't mean intellectual investigation as thinking or pondering or rationalizing or investigating in a mental sense. It means having heard the teaching. The person who hasn't heard much teaching will have a hard time dealing with the specifics of their practice. So of course we stress that it's important to only the four foundations of mindfulness really constitute the basis, the core of our practice. And we stress that that's enough, that you don't have to go into deep detail. However, someone who has heard many things and listened to the teaching again and again will gain important details that can help them in their practice. Obviously, the most important wisdom doesn't come from intellectual learning. over the hearing of the Buddha's teaching and hearing it again and again. For example, hearing of the Vaisaraja Dhamma or any of the Dhammas that we have in this course. It provides confidence. It gives you that foundation to deal with every situation which would otherwise perhaps lead you unsure of yourself, unable to continue. It can be a roadblock, the simple lack of information. Getting information from someone who has followed the path, who has experience and who is able to guide you on the path is invaluable. So a person who has studied a lot will have great confidence. Again, it can with all of these things, confidence is a double-edged sword. A person who has studied too much or studied a lot, there's I guess no such thing as too much, but who has studied a lot in excess, out of proportion with how much they have practiced, can often find it a hindrance on their path. A person who has relied only on study without actually undertaking a significant formal practice of meditation will find that when they do begin to practice meditation, all of the learning comes back and causes them to doubt and to wonder, and it actually doesn't lead to conviction. So Bahusutta is a sword, it is a weapon, it is something that you can use for your benefit, it's something that's important and valuable, especially over the long term, as you gain a formal meditation practice and undertake daily practice over weeks and months and years, without the supplementing it with education, with listening and learning about the Dhamma. It's very easy to get on the wrong path or to be lost or to be unsure and not have the tools that you need to succeed and to progress. The fourth Vaisaraja Dhamma is Vaisaraja Karana Dhamma is Arada Virya, having firm effort. Virya means effort, arada means your effort is unwavering. So effort is a big part of our certainty of in ourselves and in our ability to complete our tasks. It can be quite daunting, the idea of practicing many hours of meditation, sleeping less, eating less, talking less, having no access to the world, access to entertainment, even just living in the forest with all of the scary and unfamiliar aspects of it can be a great source of timidity or saraja. So looking at the task ahead, it can be easy to shy away from it and to feel a lack of confidence and lack of certainty that we can continue. Effort, someone who has great effort is much more likely to look at the challenge, look at any challenge, and feel themselves up to the task. The effort, there's their knowledge in themselves, their knowledge of themselves as having effort. You know, a person who is of strong effort, of strong will and strong conviction, has a much easier time finding the confidence and the ability to succeed. It's common during meditation practice to feel lazy, to feel tired, and if you don't have this habit or this power of strength, of effort, it can be a great roadblock in your success and cause you to flag and fail and give up. And really, arada virya, the word arada signifies that in some sense it's not about having more effort. It's not about pushing yourself harder in the sense of forcing yourself or pushing yourself. It means that it's firm in the sense that it doesn't give up. Real and true effort, the effort that we need is the effort to continue and the effort to persist. And that's what is related to Vaisaraja, is you persist. You have this power of persistence. So the effort is the effort to continuously apply our attention to the practice. Having done one meditation round, not to think, oh, another one yet again, I have to do another one now, or I have to go again, or I have to go further. I've done one day and now I have another day. How many days have I been here? These sorts of thoughts come from laziness, come from this lack of effort. A person who has strong effort doesn't give rise to those thoughts, or has an easy time to suppress them or push them away. They find themselves able to overcome any kind of tiredness or laziness and push on. So in a practical sense, we don't have to push ourselves further. We just have to face and address and confront these states of laziness and see them for what they are. They aren't meaningful. They don't mean that we should stop. They don't mean that there's something wrong. These are just a distraction in the mind, that the mind is weak and is triggered. Is triggered by greed, the desire to be doing something more comfortable, more pleasant, and is triggered by anger, the aversion to the pain and to any kind of stress that comes up from having to face, having to sit, having to confront your experiences directly. We don't have to push harder, we just have to keep on, and we have to catch ourselves when we're flagging. It's the effort to be mindful again and again in every moment, to catch the rising of the stomach, the falling of the stomach, and then to do it again. To catch the feelings when they arise and when they cease, to catch thoughts when they come and they go, to catch our emotions, to stay and to not let ourselves get caught up with distractions and mental fermentation of greed or anger or delusion, the qualities of mind that distract us. The fifth Vesa Raja Dhamma is Panyava, one who is wise. One who is wise has, of course, great confidence and great staying power. This is the ultimate Vesa Raja Dhamma, someone who has gained understanding of the truth as it is, understanding of themselves, understanding of suffering, understanding of the cause of suffering, has come to see the defilements as the cause of suffering, has come to see that nothing in the world is worth clinging to. They have no difficulty succeeding in their aims, no difficulty in applying themselves to anything. The wisdom gives them the confidence and gives them the certainty. Of course, it also helps them to deal with any challenge that they face. Wisdom is the best solution to any problem because it gives you the answer. It teaches you how to face it tells you how to face all situations, and it helps you see that experiences are never problems. And so problems are always going to be something that we give rise to in our mind, that isn't an aspect of reality. Reality can never be problematic. Without wisdom, we have the delusion and the ignorance to think of things as being a problem, being a roadblock, being something in our way or so on, a reason to quit, a reason to give up, thinking that we're inadequate, thinking that we're not up to the task. But a person with wisdom sees reality as experiences that arise and cease. There is no me, no I, there is only the experiences coming and going. There is no problems. There is no challenges. The only challenge is the practice that allows us to gain this wisdom, to see things as they are, and to free ourselves from uncertainty, and to free ourselves from suffering. So absolutely this is an important aspect of the teaching, and all of these dhammas are very core to the teaching. It is worth noting, as I said, that someone can be overconfident, someone can believe in themselves too much. Confidence is not the most important thing. And Vaisaraja really doesn't precisely mean confidence. It just means this lack of being triggered, or lack of losing faith in oneself, losing the effort to continue. So someone who continues, persists, and pushes on, and isn't daunted by challenges. So when a challenge comes up, a difficulty comes up, when the going gets tough, they just get going. Vesaraja means not to lose heart, not to fall off the path or fall away from the path, to have the strength to continue and have the habit or the personality of someone who doesn't give up, someone who persists, and someone who succeeds. So, important dhamma for sure, not just for practice, but for life in general. So that's the dhamma for today.